The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
With us now is Pete the Vet, otherwise known, well, probably predominantly known as Peter Weatherburn, because that is actually what he was originally named. To answer any pet questions that you might have, you can get them in to 53106, or if you want to do it, that'll cost you 30 cents. If you want to do it for free, it's 087 1400 106. Pete, an interesting suggestion and a question that says, is a goldfish a good starter pet for children? We live in an apartment, so we feel a cat or a dog is impractical. Now, can I put it to you that as wonderful as fish may be, pet is a stretch. You can't pet a fish.
You can't pet them, but you can have a relationship with them.
Can you?
You can. And funny enough, when myself and my wife got married, the first pet we had was a goldfish, because we were both working then at that stage, and we couldn't really have a dog or a cat. So we came across this goldfish and we took him in, and we actually got two of them. And you should get two goldfish, because one of them on their own, they get lonely. They're social creatures. But we learned to know them as individuals. And this is the weird thing. And they learned to know us. So my wife is the one, Joyce always fed them. She was always the one who fed them. And so I would go into the room and they would, because they lived in our bathroom, they would swim to the back of the tank and hide behind the rocks. She would go in and they'd recognize her. They'd come out and they'd bob around at the front of the tank saying hello to her or whatever.
Did they have separately identifiable personalities?
Definitely, yes, definitely.
Really?
One of them was more friendly. Listen, it's a very kind of human-centric thing to think that it's only humans that have separate personalities. All animals have separate personalities. We just don't spend enough time with them to recognise that one sheep is different from another sheep. But they all absolutely are. And one goldfish, different to another goldfish.
Now, my understanding with goldfish was that they had a worrying habit of spontaneous death.
Well, there's one kind of spontaneous death that people should be aware of, is that they sometimes jump out of the tank. So if you have a goldfish tank, you should make sure there's a secure lid in it, because they can just leap right out. Yeah, that's the first thing. But they are prone.
Are they not sensitive to temperature change, food changes, all that kind of stuff?
There's kind of a subtlety there, because I know people who, in my mind, I'm afraid, totally neglected their goldfish, done nothing to them, have them in the tank, but they'd lived for 20 years, do you know? So other fish, people get them and within a couple of weeks they die. I think what's important is to have a stable water quality. And if you have a good basic routine, that just means keeping it reasonably clean, changing the water reasonably regularly, having enough water, and you've got to have quite a lot of water. That means like about 2 litres of water for every half centimetre of fish. It's quite a lot. Because
that adds up per fish.
Yeah, per fish, wow. Per goldfish. They're quite demanding. So you need to keep the, once you keep the water reasonably clean, once you feed them not too much, you give them too much food, the excess food rots in the tank, and that's no use for the fish, because then the water becomes contaminated. But if you do things right, they're actually very easy to keep and they can live for many, many years.
Now, this may be an unfair question because it's based on a half-remembered thing from a long time ago and it's very specific. So forgive me for asking, but I will nonetheless. Is it true that goldfish can see infrared and are therefore annoyed by remote controls?
I have never heard of that.
I have a vague recollection that they can see the infrared light from remote controls and therefore think you're shining torches all the time at the TV. If you're a goldfish expert and you know this, 53106.
It's a really good one. I'm not quite sure about that.
Another one asking, how do I become a puppy walker for guide or assistance dogs, and how long would the pup be with me? Now, this is one I have always been interested in. So here's one. Do not get a goldfish as a pet, I think it must mean. Don't get one as a parent either, unless you're committing to a total life change. Don't get a goldfish as a pet unless you're willing to clean out the tank on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But I suppose that goes for all pets. Becoming a puppy walker for guide dogs or assistance dogs, is it not the most tremendous wrench to develop a relationship with this gorgeous little puppy and then have to hand it back to somebody?
It's a totally different vibe to having a pet normally. Normally you get a puppy, it's going to last you, like, I don't know, 12 to 15 years. If you go and get the most gorgeous guide dog puppy, usually around 9 weeks of age, it's guaranteed pretty much it's going to be taken off you at 14 months of age. So once it matures into this gorgeous, ideal adult dog, it's going to be taken off you. So you have to get your head around that, and you have to kind of see it, I suppose, a bit like fostering children. You know, you're taking this creature in and you're going to mold it so that it's going to have a great life. and that's what you do. So it's a sort of frame of mind, I suppose. If you want to know more about it, go to guidedogs.ie and you can find out there how to register for it. I'm not sure how easy it is. I'd imagine you'd have to have, you know, serious experience of having a dog and of being good with animals.
A text asking, can I ask Pete the vet what might be going on with my 13-year-old retriever who is waking up five times a night? It isn't always about getting out to the toilet, as she doesn't always go. Now, 13 is late 80s, early 90s. I would have thought at that sort of age, getting up a lot in the night is a fairly common thing.
I think it's, partly to do with aging of kidneys and internal organs and needing to go to the loo a bit more often. But it's more than that, though. First of all, some dementia often kicks in as dogs get older. When they get to that age, they stop being quite themselves. They get a bit forgetful. They lose the daily rhythm of sleep and wake. It's all part of that. But there are some tips I can give them. And the first thing is make sure the dog stays warm at night, because elderly dogs get chilled more easily. So I know a little dog that sleeps better once it has its coat on, believe it or not, to keep it warm. So, you know, that's something to think about. The other thing is, so make sure the room is a bit warmer than you might have it otherwise, just to make sure that they're really comfortable. The other thing is to think about some older dogs get confused more easily. And so if it's pitch dark at night, they can wake up and get a bit agitated because they suddenly don't know where they are. So what you can do is have a little nightlight plugged in beside the dog's bed. And that will mean that when they wake up, they can at least remember where they are and recognize it and then settle down again. And both of those are tips that I've seen actually work for dogs that are restless at night. Finally, if it is causing you problems still, do talk to your vet. There are many dogs out there that get given a nighttime tranquilizer to help them sleep through the night. Just because, it's upsetting. It was very difficult for owners at that, if they're being woken at 3 a.m. every night, it becomes a real impediment to their own
life. And I assume it can also become a self-fulfilling prophecy that the dog is a bit restless. If it knows that it gets company when it is restless, then it, and one thing leads to another thereafter forever.
It can become a bad habit, yeah.
Text saying, I am about to move into an apartment. My 13-year-old cat is an indoor-outdoor cat. Never pooped in a box. Always outside. How, if possible, can I train him? Now, this is another one of these half-remembered things. I was watching Dancing with the Stars the other day, and I think it was Grove Farrelly. There was a cutaway that showed a cat in the background peeing in the toilet. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
It is possible. There's actually a device you can get which you fit onto the top of your toilet, and it is essentially got a litter tray in the middle. And it shrinks, and it sort of gradually morphs into a cat-sized device to allow them to use the toilet like a human. Yeah,
so genius.
It is possible. Yeah, absolutely, but it's difficult, and I wouldn't recommend it because essentially cats have an instinct to go into to go to a surface where they can scratch it and move material around, create a little sort of hole, go into it, and then cover it up again. They do that instinctively. So all you need to do is get the same thing in a litter tray in your apartment. What you might do, because your cat isn't used to using litter, you might get some earth from outside and put that into the litter tray at first. You'd have to put newspaper around your litter tray because there's going to be some muddy footprints around the place for the short term. But then you gradually get the cat onto the just the regular litter.
But the cat will innately want to use the tray rather than a flat surface.
It's a very strong instinct they have in their minds, yeah.
By the way, somebody supporting what you say, handing back a guide dog puppy the first time is hard, but the second one is easier. We've done too. Another question then. Very anxious, reactive rescue dog. 12 years old, very sad history. We have him a year now, but still very anxious. Can't walk where other dogs or people are. He's now started wrecking his bed and going to the toilet in the house. What could have changed to cause the latter, the wrecking of the bed and the going to the toilet?
Well, good on you taking on a dog like that, because the dog obviously has a very checkered history and all sorts of past emotional traumas can be triggered by all sorts of things you mightn't be aware of. What I would say is that there's a very good website called careforreactivedogs.com, careforreactivedogs.com, and it takes you through the whole process of what you do to manage a dog that is kind of very hyper and very anxious. And there's loads of dogs out there like this. And this website's really helpful. It essentially takes you through the process of desensitization and counter conditioning, which is a mouthful. But what it actually means is getting dogs used to used to things they're frightened of, and rewarding them for staying calm and relaxed around those things. It's a process that you do. And for most dogs, just going through simple training routines is enough. Some dogs, like the one you describe, they do need extra support with medication, because what happens at the moment is the dog gets hysterically upset when it comes across a stressful situation, and it's so upset that it can't learn. So what the medication does, it's only temporary for a few months, it calms, slows the dog down so that it doesn't get so upset, and then it can learn that the thing that it's frightened of isn't actually so terrifying after all.
And can the dogs fully learn? I mean, I'm thinking about it, if it's a rescue dog that may have been years in a very difficult situation, is it possible to unlearn those ingrained reactions?
You can certainly help. I think it can be impossible to completely cure, if you like, make a dog. You're not going to make a completely anxious hyper dog into a big, soft, lazy lump that doesn't raise an eyelid at anything strange. That's never going to happen. But you should be able to at least move the dog from being unmanageable to being manageable. But your vet is a key ally in this, because they will be able to direct you to the right sort of medication and also the right sort of professional assistance towards behaving, changing their behaviour.
A quick one here. Any ideas for a dog with allergies to dust mites?
Yes. Well, there's two possible. Dust mite allergies are really, really, really common, especially in breeds like those doodly poodly woodly ones.
Don't you wow me with your veterinary terms.
The white fluffy yolks, they're all prone to these sort of, it's called atopy. It's allergies to dusts and pollens in the air, and house dusts are one of those things. So essentially there's two ways you deal with these. The first way is hyposensitization, where you do a blood test or a skin test to find out precisely what little particles they're allergic to, such as house dust. And then what you do is you get a solution of the house dust or the pollens, whatever, and you give an injection every week and then every month, and their body gradually gets used to it.
You can do that for dogs?
You can. Now, the cat is a big catch, which is that it only works in maybe 50 to 60% of dogs. So it's good for those ones, but it's quite expensive. So you either do hyposensitization, or you give anti-inflammatory medication, which dampens down the immune system so they're not so allergic anymore. And that's what we do for most dogs, anti-inflammatory medication. And it works in like 95% of dogs. So it's far more successful than hypersensitization. The only catch is the cheaper ones, cheaper anti-inflammatories have more side effects. And the ones with the least side effects are super expensive, as in like €100 a month. So you have to pay your money and take your choice, you know. But you talk to your vet about that and they'll let you know. Can I let you know one more thing I need to tell you about before I go, which is that you might or might not know that I'm the chair of the ISPCA at the moment, and we have a particular case of a dog called Willow who's got a broken leg. And as far as the ISPCA is concerned, we were told for €600, the leg could be amputated, or for €2,000, we could save his leg. So we're saving his leg. He's having a big operation in the next few days to get it pieced together, but we do need the support of the public. And if you go to the Pete the Vet Facebook or Instagram page, you'll find the link, and you can give us, if everybody listening gave us 50 cents,
you'd have a euro. Pete, thank you very
much. Thank you very
much. So you said the Pete the Vet Facebook page.
Thank you.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.